Hello, brothers and sisters. It's another weekend, and we're in the new year now, 2020. Should be a very exciting year. You guys, if you're looking at how this world's sitting up, times are getting close. Jesus is coming back soon. And preacher's been saying that for many, way before I was born. But I was thinking of Noah and how he preached during that whole time. Him and his family was working on that ark. And, he preached roughly 100 to 140. But it was a long period of time that God was coming to judge that world. And they probably had the same mindset. Oh, well, he's been saying that for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 100 years. The thing is if you look at the scriptures and how it unfolds, how it is unfolding, our time is getting near, guys, and this is serious. And the key is here is when this life is over with, when Jesus comes back, only thing that's truly ever even really going to matter is if you're a child of God, because that's everlasting life. The other flip side, that's the sad part, is if you're not a child of God, you are a child of Satan. And you will be everlastingly damned. And I say that with my heart grieved. And last year and starting this year, just looking at the climate of today's lukewarm Christian, professing Christian, they don't understand what it means to be saved. And they're sitting in our churches, and that hurts my heart to know that. And whoever's out there listening to this, my heart hurts, and I'm speaking from the heart. And if you can, I've preached several sermons on salvation. Go to those, hit them, listen to them, and within that is biblical and scriptural truth of what it means to be a child of God. Not this watered down version that is preached at most churches today. It's sad for me to say that. Now, I'm not church bashing. I'm just saying I travel around and I visit churches, and they don't know me from Tom and Jerry. I just come in, I sit and I listen to them, and I don't give no information about who I am, and I just listen, and I listen, and I talk to people, and I'm not one of those preachers that sit on in a church and don't go out there and look around and talk to other preachers or talk to other people within the church. I believe getting out there and feeling, because I believe the time is coming near, and I don't want everybody that I've encountered, I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to be, I want them all to go to heaven with me. But just if you get opportunity, I got some salvation sermons. Just hit on them, listen to them. If you have any questions, please hit me up. I'll do my best to answer your question. And then again, I'm not, on salvation, I'm spot on, because that's one of the things I had to wrap my head around when I came back to Christ, is to understand exactly what salvation is. And I can explain it in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or I can give you a whole hour on it, preaching on it. But today, my heart was really burdened with to say that. It's kind of my message today. We'll be reading out Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Matthew 7, 24, 29. Matthew 7, to me is one of the hardest books for me to look at and read, because the basic truth, a lot of people like to focus on 7-1 and forget everything else within that chapter. I encourage you to read the whole thing, not quote one scripture out of context. And be honest, that 7-1 really needs to be understood throughout the whole Bible. I encourage you this year, which I have done, is to outline, or I'm almost done, I outlined the whole Old Testament, and I'm working on almost getting the whole New Testament outlined. And of course, that's a growing outline. You learn more, you put more notes into it, and I encourage you, because when you do that, you start seeing things, and the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see things. And I know life is busy. I'm busy. I work a full-time job, and when I can, I go out there and preach at other churches and a message. I understand being busy, but you're not too busy for Jesus, I promise you. Our scripture reading today will be in Matthew 7:24-29. And therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine, do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat unto the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. If you guys would bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time to be able to discuss your word, to learn. God, I pray that you be with me as I give the word out. There's nothing special about me. I give myself over to the Holy Spirit. Forgive me where I failed you. Guide and direct me in this sermon, Lord, to whoever that's out there that needs to hear it, that's going through things in their lives. God, I may not be able to be there physically with them, but God, I pray over their lives now. I pray what's going on in their life, Lord, that you just be with them during it. Give them strength to endure. There's many people out there that's, in my heart's burden, they're hungry. They don't have places to live. That's happening in America. And of course, in third world countries, the poverty, Lord. We know we live in a cursed world, and none of this is your fault. We did it to ourselves. But we pray, Lord, for your mercy and grace on our lives. I pray over my brothers and sisters overseas, Lord, the ones that are in dealing with this homelessness and the children starving. Pray over them, Lord. Pray, Lord, you send people, Lord. Give them what they need at time, Lord. Substance. I pray, God, that you be over our nation this time of turmoil, this chaos, this hate toward one another and toward the truth. Lord, I pray that you raise up spiritual leaders to go into the government, that goes into the systems, and pronounce the truth. The only truth that matters is Jesus. Pray, Lord, that our nation turns their wicked ways, and focus their eyes back on Jesus. We got comfortable in America, God. We've lost our sight. We can't see. We're deaf. We can't hear you calling to us. I pray that you wake the church, the true church, disciples who want to go out there and to spread the gospel, to spread it like salt, like a salt shaker. Just spread it everywhere. I pray, Lord, that churches seek out these men of God. a truth that radiates from them from the Holy Spirit. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Of course, our reading was in Matthew 7, 24, 29. You know, we have Jesus here, right? And he's on the Mount, a hill, and he's giving a message to his audience. We as the church, we have called this the Sermon on the Mount. It starts from Matthew 5 to 7. And I don't know if you guys read these passages. For me, these passages are intense, right? All these passages, what I get when I read Matthew 5 through 7 is that it's impossible to keep all these sayings in our own strength, but in Jesus' eyes, all things are possible, right? But if you're like me, you really think you got it. You got this. You can do this on your own. You know, I was thinking of an illustration of this, and I have a tendency to have a lead feet or lead foot, however you want to look at it. A lot of times I'm driving down the road or interstate, and you know, for instance, speed limit is 55, right? And then you're like, you know, I'm kind of going too slow. I need to increase my speed, right? And it ain't gonna hurt if I go 5 miles over the speed limit, right? Then I'm like, well, maybe I do another 5. I'm starting to move a little bit faster. Next thing you know, you're at 70 and a 55, and you got the music up. And you're drowning out all that thought saying, hey, slow down, slow down. You're violating the law. You're violating that. Next thing you know, you start seeing blue and white lights flashing. And you're like, yeah, you know, it just got real. You see, Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us to repentance when we mess up, when we violate the things that Jesus tells us not to do. Because we can't do it on our own. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. As a child of God, we are given the Holy Spirit. It's literally living inside us. If you're a child of God. You know, I heard a question one time, and it had me pondering and thinking. And the question was, do you rather walk with Jesus right beside you, or would you prefer him living inside you? And me, I prefer Jesus living inside me because his strength is stronger than mine. I can't do it on my own. I've tried it multiple times, and I'm not saying I won't try it again because I can be stubborn. But older I get, realize there's things that happen around me I just don't have no control over. And one of the hardest challenges was for me, and still can be, on certain things. Because we're not immune. We still live in the flesh too. We have a spirit. So our spirit and flesh is always kind of fighting each other. And it's because of us. We can get stubborn. I know I can be very stubborn. And you know, when we're going through life, and life has all these challenges, and life can kick you right on your butt and leave you there, and you don't know what to do. You know, what we're seeing in today's world is a rise of depression, anxiety, stress, suicide, financial ruins, marriages being broken, the traditional marriage values are withering away. I was reading a report that said that today the new generation, that's also the part of the Christian group, or the what I call modern Christianity, that has infected most churches today, or quite a few churches, or is going to eventually, I believe, there will be people that will stand up against it, and they will be ostracized for it. But they believe that same-sex marriages is fine. And these are ones that are claiming to be Christian. They're okay with that. But the attack on tradition marriages, a mother raising a child by herself, a father raising a child by himself, all of these challenges in life. I mean, you're working a job as a single mom, and you don't have a babysitter for your kid, you know, and then suddenly you start getting sick. Life just will, and it all depends if how you view it. If you're a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit. These storms can destroy you if you allow them, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to take over the situation, give it to God, and you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can overcome the storm. In Matthew 7:24-29, Jesus tells us there's two foundations. We have a rock, and we have the sand. And today I want to present you with this question. What foundation is your life built on when the storms come in life? You know, when I talk about a rock, and you know, I'm thinking of a solid surface, something that is stable, it won't move. And we're about to get into the meat of the word, solid food here, when we're talking about these two foundations. The rock is stable, is firm, it's not going to move. If you look at me with Matthew 7:24-25, it tells us, therefore, whoever hear these sayings of mine, do them, I will like them unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And these sayings are within the Sermon on the Mount. And the rain descend, and you can go back and trace through that. But he's dealing with the harsh sayings here. And the rain ascended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat up on that house. It fell not, for it was founded on a rock. What Jesus is telling us is a wise man will listen to the sayings. He will take the word of God, because Jesus spoke, God spoke. And he would take that and build his house, his life on it. And when the storms come in life, when the devil's knocking at your door, your house will stand, because it's built on the word of God. It's built on a solid foundation. It's stable, it's firm. In other words, the foundation is solid. And because you built your house on the rock, the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is residing in you within that, the storms will not destroy you. Now, it can take your breath away. It can leave you in moments of despair. And I've been there, and you hit your knees and you're saying, Jesus, what's going on? You're on your knees crying out, and I've been there. And I'm not just saying just 30 minutes. I'm talking about hours of prayer. You get an answer. I know I have. And it's just a small voice saying, it'll be all right. Get up. I got this. I know if you ever laid the foundation on a house or a swimming pool, or foundations are very important. A solid foundation is very important. When we look at storms in Louisiana, there we have hurricanes, and just recently we had a hurricane that came through in Ellic, and it destroyed a lot of things. It just ripped buildings apart, and you can barely tell there were a building there. Storms are devastating. I don't know if you watch the Weather Channel and all those, and you see the hurricanes, you can see the tornadoes if you're not very familiar with those. And then just rain period, you know, lots of rain, flooding, and how it affects foundations, and especially foundations are not solid. They shift. The whole house caves. But just getting a picture of that, and then we look at our Christian lives, and we allow Jesus to come in our life and be the Lord of our life. We have a foundation that's built on the rock. It's solid, it's stable. There's nothing that can destroy it. There's nothing in this life, not even the gates of hell. So this is the thing, and now you have to know that you're a child of God first. And I have quite a few messages on salvation. And what it means to be a child of God. You know, when we look at what it means to be a child of God, and of course we go to Romans 9 and Romans 10:9-11, and you know, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins, you know, and it's more than that though. We have to recognize we are sinful creatures, period. And that the sin that we're bound by when we're born is the original sin that originated from the Garden of Eden, where even Adam disobeyed God's commandment, ate of the fruit, and sin came into this world, and therefore now sin, we're born into sin. The curse of sin, right? And it's through the blood of Jesus, God sent his son to die for our sins, and the blood that was shed, that was prophesied in the Old Testament, that when we, and of course, buried and rose, and we take all that in account, this, and when we're, and we say, I believe all of this, I believe everything, I believe he was sent, because I can't do it on my own, and I believe he was sent here to put me on the right path. And I yield all this to him, and he rose, and now that he rose, that now I can have new life. And this new life, being born again, the Holy Spirit resides inside you. It comes inside you. And when the Holy Spirit is inside you, it changes your life. You are not the same, right? You are a new creature. Many professing Christians today don't believe in a change. They believe they can keep their old lifestyle. It don't work that way. If you're hanging on to your old lifestyle and you're supposed to be a new creature, you're, according to the Bible, according to Jesus' words, you're not new. You're still old. You've not regenerated. You are the same, meaning you are still a child of Satan. You can't, if the Holy Spirit is residing in you, you cannot live a life of sin and be okay with it. The Holy Spirit will grieve you to a point where you cannot live with yourself. I know there's individuals out there, groups out there that believes that in a grace that is dirty. They believe they can do everything they can in this world, live the way they want to live, and still have heaven. And that don't work that way. When the Holy Spirit comes inside you and it comes into your body, you do not want to live that way. And if you do live that way, it will be to a point where you're grievous. You can't function straight. Your spirit is grieved. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. The other foundation, and that would be the sand, and that's kind of what I was talking about. I kind of got ahead of myself on that one. But if you look at with me, Matthew 7:26-27, it says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, do them not, shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall." The sand, that is what I was talking about, the loose doctrine that has infected our churches, that has created a, not a fire, but a lukewarmness that is pumping through today's American Christian church. They believe that it's okay if you sin. It's okay to accept other people's sins. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not okay. Will you hear the words like license to sin, dirty grace? And then you ask people about it and they say, oh no, we don't believe in that. But then you're with them and you're watching them and they're talking every which way in the world. They're cussing, even cussing God, enjoying it. They're partaking in all the lusts of this world. And they whore these riches for themselves. They want this nice house and they want this boat. And oh yeah, okay, there's my brother over there suffering. I'll be all right. God will take care of him. He don't need me. Really? Look at your Bible. This is people that they have built their foundation on sand. They believe they got it. Are they the devil has blinded them to it. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5 by their the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But then, and of course, in this Matthew 7, which is another, you know, this is a very hard chapter, but it tells us about fruit here. And it says, by their fruits you'll know them. And that's what he's talking about. And this whole chapter kind of goes together and it ends with this, of course, the two foundations. And what he's saying, these people, they're built their life on sand. They have no fruit because they're not truly mine. They claim to be something they're not, but their fruit is showing something different. Today, and that's what we get at Matthew 7:1. People say, judge not lest ye be judged. But Jesus is telling us, no, that ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying, make sure your house isn't straight. Make sure your life is built on the foundation of the rock. And then you look out there and you observe the fruit of that person. That fruit. Well, do they have love in their life? And that's agape love. That's an unconditional, that's an unsacrificial love. Do they have joy in their life? That fruit. That meekness. That temperance. That long suffering. The faith. The peace, the temperance. Are you seeing all this in their life? You look on and you don't even see nothing in their life. And then they're out in the world and they're doing whatever. And then next thing you know, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Really? Oh, I'm saved by the grace of God. Really? I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying Jesus tells us to look at their fruit. And when you say, hey brother, your fruit ain't producing. Oh, don't judge me or be careful. Be careful because you don't know, you know, the thing is, it's not being careful. You don't know your Bible. You are polluting other people around you. When you call yourself a Christian, they're looking at you. And don't think Jesus is going to hold you accountable for those other people looking at you. Saying, I ain't going to be a Christian because of that person. You are guilty of that. But then you're going to shove it off. Your life is supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. If not, you're not built on the rock, you're built on the sand. And every time your life is built on sand, when the things come in life and to show that it's going to push you to the edge and you reach out to Jesus because you think you're a Christian. You don't have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You don't have that strength. So you're going to lash out to other things. You don't have that benefit to be a child of God because you still are a child of Satan. That's what I'm saying today. This word is, while I'm speaking, is meat. This is the meat of the gospel. Salvation. And I went through it pretty fast. You know, Romans 10:9-11 tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God had risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confess is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Paul's telling us, hey, Recognize Jesus. See, if you're born, we're born into sin. And this world's corrupt and this world belongs to Satan. We are born into the world of sin, all because of this Adam and Eve I was talking about. They were in a perfect world, but they let Satan lie to them, and they corrupt the commandments, a commandment of Jesus. And of course, Jesus came and called them. They hid themselves, you know, and he killed the first animal sacrifice, which set the sacrificial testament sacrificing. Of course, he prophesied in the midst of that in Genesis 3, that last part, that he was going to send Jesus into this world to die for our sins. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. He died for all our sins, our present, past, and future. And because we say this, it means the Holy Spirit comes inside us. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. See, sin is like a cancer. It will eat you up. It will leave you a shell of a person until you die. Jesus is the cure. The blood was shed to cover you. That's your present, past, and future sins, where you won't experience that physical, that spiritual death. We may all have to experience a physical death unless Jesus comes back soon. I believe he's on the cuffs of coming back soon. And that hurts me, because there's going to be many people that are going to be shocked when that day comes. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Lord, Lord, didn't I do that? But their heart was so far away from him, their fruit didn't produce. And even in one even more scarier passage to me is they're saying, hey, Lord, look at me. I've done this and I've done that. I cast out demons. They were actually being used. God was using them to accomplish his works, to infect, to influence other people around them, but their hearts were away from him. And that really, I really see that when we look at the Christian music today, and these artists, and I love listening to contemporary Christian music, but they're singing these lyrics and they're Christian and people are praising. People are going to get saved from that. Not saying they're not, the people singing are truly Christian or not. I'm just saying that's an example. If their hearts is far from Christ and they're just speaking. And same thing for preachers. They're up there preaching in the pulpit. If they're preaching from the Word of God, his Word won't go void. People will be touched. People will be healed. People will be delivered. But it don't mean that preacher, that pastor, that evangelist is going to heaven, that teacher is going to heaven. You know, just when you believe and accept and confess, of course, the birth, the death, the resurrection, and when you do that, you truly believe that the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and it changes you. You become a born again Christian. You know, I work in a construction kind of environment, and I come across all kind of conversations, a lot of filthy. I do not join in, and I humbly walk away. You know, as a child of God, I walk away and I do not participate in these conversations. And sometimes a person will come up to me and say, well, that was kind of rude, but I'm humble, and I tell them, hey, I am a Christian, truly a Christian. I believe what Jesus tells me, that I'm not supposed to be partaker of that language, that communication. Sometimes it gives me opportunity to witness. But Jesus tells us we can't serve two masters. You will love the one, you will hate the other. You cannot serve the world and God. You can't serve Satan and God without being grieved. Especially if you're a child of God, you will be grieved to blend in, to conform to this world. Your heart should be burdened. If not, that's a lack of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus tells us not to, we have to be in this world, but we're not supposed to be in that world. Meaning, in other words, I like to say the Christian should rub off on the world, not the other way around today. The world rubs off on the Christian and not the Christian rubbing off on the world. I see it daily and it hurts my heart. And the other part of that, when you become a child of God, you have to understand this is the part of the message that is left out. When you become a child of God, you become a disciple of Christ. And because you're a disciple of Christ, he tells us to count the costs. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So there is a cost to say I do to Jesus. It can cost you your family. It can cost you your job. It can cost your very freedom. Maybe one day it may even cost you your life. But everything that we can get in this world, this life is just temporary. But Jesus has prepared for us, beyond our imagination, a place. And of course, the flip side of that. If you say, okay, well, I'm going to keep calling myself a Christian. This guy's crazy. I ain't worrying about that. I don't still blend into this world. Yes, you can do that. You can ignore me as they did in Noah's day. They would not listen. And that will happen in these last days. Many will not listen, but that will not keep me from proclaiming the gospel, the truth of the gospel. There's discipleship. You become a disciple. Fire burns into your heart. You're out there. You say, okay, this Sunday, let's hear the word of God. And then the week comes out and you go, I'm going to witness for Jesus. I'm going to look for him in every place I can. And I will be that the hands and feet of Jesus. But then Monday rolls around, you don't do nothing. Tuesday rolls around, you don't do nothing. And throughout the week, you don't do nothing. To me, that's grievous. That grieves my heart. And if it don't grieve your heart, there's something seriously wrong with you, brothers and sisters out there. I want to leave you guys with this question. Is your life built on the rock? Or is it built on the sand? I want to tell you today, this is serious, because your house, if your house is built on the sand today, and you leave here and you decide the preacher is out of his mind, and I got many people that probably figure I am, and that's all right, and I will keep living that life. I will keep living the life I want to live, because I don't believe nothing is coming out of me, and I haven't spoken anything of my opinion. I have gave you straight scripture from the Bible, even Jesus' words. At the very beginning, I tell you guys, look at the words, weigh them with scripture. I provide what Jesus has provided to his audience. I'm providing to you as many as walk away that minute will walk away when they hear this. And they decide to keep doing what they want to do. They decide truth does not matter. Truth is relevant. As Satan and his army keeps pulling you into today in the abyss of darkness. I want to tell you, as long as I got a breath in my body. And I'm just a humble servant of God. I'm going to lay it out for you. Because I love you. Jesus loves you even more. And I pray over this. And I pray that everyone here truly allows the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And that to build their life on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. And knowing that you do that, the Holy Spirit comes inside you. And it guides and it directs you. It teaches you. And you start growing. And you start wanting to do, and if you're at your church, you know, get involved. See where your pastor, if you can do a Bible study, or get out there and reach the community some way. Be that light. Be that salt. Is your life built on the rock or the sand? I surely hope everyone that listens to this, their life is built on the rock. Sad truth, they probably are not. Heavenly Father, you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for this message. Even though it was tough for me to proclaim this truth. I pray, Lord, that it reaches whoever hearts it needs to reach. I pray, Lord, if they just don't understand what it means to be a child of God, hopefully this helps. And that they will seek out the scriptures for themselves. And that they will listen to the words that you have had me speak to them. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we leave or as we finish this podcast, I pray, Lord, that tomorrow, Sunday, that the preachers and the teachers, that you just give them the words to say to their congregation, that they give them strength and a clear understanding of your word, Lord, as we are supposed to do, as representations or representatives of you, God, as ambassadors of the word of God, Lord, that we represent Christ and that we can explain it to our congregations, and that they can take it and they can grow and they can explain it to the world, Lord, and that the world doesn't rub off on them, and they rub off on the world and that person that you put in their path, they can bring to church, and that they can grow them, and then it just expands and we have a revival, a fire, that the true church wakes up as an axe. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.